Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another exciting broadcast of Deep Cough in the Deep. I am your host, Jeremy Lopez, and today what I'm going to do in the broadcast is going to be a little different for you guys because I want to talk about basically my new book. I'm really excited about it because so many people have asked me for so long, you know, Jeremy, you know, as a prophet, you prophesy to these people, those people. Tell me a little bit about dreams and visions. And I never really tapped into it because of the fact, you know, you have to wait on God's timing, do you not? And you have to wait on God to release something in you that is the now word, that is revelational, that is secrets, that is mysteries, that being revealed to you to where you're living out the revelation in order to give to others. See, the problem with most people is a lot of times we get revelation, but unless it's really revelation to us, it's just information. And a lot of people write books based on information as opposed to becoming revelation to them, and they're actually living it out and walking it out, if you know what I mean. And so I wanted to take a moment to tell you about the brand new book that I have out, and it's called Entering into the Dream Dimension. And the subtitle is God's Portal to Reveal. Because God wants to reveal through the portal of the dreams inside of you. And so I wanted to take a moment to talk to you a little bit about the idea of dreams. Because a lot of times, you know, I had a lady actually, which I'd like to actually read the comment if I could on this broadcast. One of my dear close friends, I don't want to take her name in Canada, but she will get a kick out of this. She'll love the fact that I'm going to use what she said through a quote she put on Facebook. But she sent me a message through Facebook, and my staff was able to get it to me. And she said, one thing I've noticed about your writings, especially the one on this dream book that I just got, is it's very practical teaching. She said, I love it. I can apply it to my life. She said, that's your strong suit. And she said, so many people write about tons of theology and they skip the how part of how to engage in dreams and how to prepare yourself for dreams. And she said, most of the time when people, you know, give a lot of theology, it just gives her a big headache. And she said, but I really love your teaching on, or your book on the dreams, because it teaches me how to do it, what to do, how to prepare myself, and what to look forward to. She said, so now I actually have the how. And I really appreciated that from her. And so so I wanted to share a little bit from many of you, because I know a lot of times people always talk about, well, I know about the theology part of the scriptures. I know about, you know, the books where it talks about with Daniel and different places and of the Bible where it talks about dreams. And of course, if you're like me, I can easily put that into a book, no problem. I know the scriptures on dreams. We can talk about a theological discussion within the book. But I didn't want to do that. I did put a lot of scripture within the book, but I didn't want to do that because I think a lot of you out there, and many of you have written into us and told me, Jeremy, one thing I love about your products, your books, your courses, is you teach us the how. You teach us what to do as opposed to just telling us God wants you to do it. And it's like the whole, you know, area of prosperity. Most people have, you know, told me for so long, you know, we've read so many books on God wants you to prosper, but they've never taught us how to prosper. And with me having several businesses, I'm an investor as well. I love to make investments. I know how to actually make money, you know, multiply. And so I taught a lot of my courses and different things that I've written on the subject of money, for example, actually how to do it. And that way you're not just saying, God wants you to prosper. Everybody knows God wants you to prosper. And so I wanted to do that within the dreams because I want to be with that kind of person where I teach you how to do it and not just God wants you to do this or God wants you to have dreams. God wants you to prophesy, but how do you do these things? And so this is where, we actually put the book on the website the other day, and it has sold so many copies from books to ebooks. It's been crazy. In fact, we ran out of books already, had another shipment on order, and so these are going fast as well. So I want to encourage everybody to, if you are a dreamer, prolific dreamer, or if you're wanting to know what that means, because think about it. I mean, the Bible makes it plain in Acts chapter 2 that your young men, you know, shall dream dreams, and you know, or your old men shall dream dreams. Excuse me, and understanding that process of the scriptures of you know, in the last days, and what's going to happen, and so you got to be able to know exactly what that means and what it looks like. So what I did was I was able to put in the book, you know, that if God tells us in the last days we're going to dream, what that means and what it looks like. And so I wanted to be able to share with you a little bit of the chapter titles, if I could, on today's broadcast, where you have a little bit of understanding as far as what to look forward to within this book. Now, the first thing I dealt with is preparing yourself for the world of dreams, which is very important because most people don't realize there is a preparation to everything. You know, even within the Bible, in the Gospel, Gospels, it talks about that the sixth day was the day of preparation, you know, when it deals with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And so there's always a preparation side to every gift, every talent, everything within the Bible. You know, when Paul told Timothy to stir up the gifts of God that have been placed on the inside of him, what that means is, you know, there's a preparation there. Stir up the gifts, which means there's something, in order to get the gifts to work, your activation or your preparation, so to say, is going to be the stirring up of these things. And we learned from Solomon, the company of prophets, you know, where he was changed into another man. What does that mean? The preparation of that anointing or that infiltration of the new creation that Saul became, came through the company or the canopy of what the other prophetic voices of the prophets of those offices. And so there's a preparation in order for change to come. And so I talk exactly what that preparation is within the first chapter of how to prepare yourself. And so you're going to get a lot of how-tos within the book. And the second chapter I dealt with preparing your atmosphere. You know, there's a scripture, and I talk about this within this book. There's scripture that Paul dealt with about we call a sphere of influence, which is the Greek word metron. And so there's an atmospheric covering or atmospheric territory, I should say, that each one of us are accountable for. And each one of us on planet Earth, I'm going to say it this way, are basically spiritual pastors. You, me, every one of us are spiritual pastors. You might not hold the office of a pastor, but you're a spiritual pastor to a flock that is spiritual that you may never see. And that spiritual flock basically is your neighbors, your family, your those you hang around with in church, those you hang out with outside of church. It's a spiritual church or community that you are in koinonia with, you're in communion with, that you draw them into a place of exhortation, comfort, lifting them higher, because you're that spiritual pastor, sort of have that responsibility level, that sort of power of leadership role over your sphere of influence of the people within your sphere of influence, within the territory God's given you. So I talk a little bit about how to prepare yourself with your atmosphere. And a lot of people, you know, I'll give you a great terminology. It's called feng shui. Now, many of you are going to say, oh man, feng shui, that's a Chinese tradition of, you know, mysticism, and it talks about the, you know, the bedroom and the living room and the how to prepare and how where to put your bed and how to where to put this furniture to prepare yourself for this and this. Let me tell you something. In the book, I'm going to give you a little explanation to let you know that we're not following feng shui. We know that's not actually a biblical terminology, and it's not actually a place where, you know, it's going to be a superstition or mysticism, but I'm going to teach you and tell you and train you from a natural point of view, actually, and a biblical point of view, why it's so necessary you have to position yourself in certain areas. Remember in the Bible where Jacob had the vision of the angels, the portal of God opened up, the angels descending and ascending, and it made it a point to say that he laid his head upon a rock. Why is that? Because it's very important to understand that how you position yourself will determine actually what you're going to get and what you're going to receive. And so I'm going to tell you from a biblical point of view why it's important that God actually mention that. I mean, think about it. Who cares what his head was laid on, correct? You know, it's like the place where it says a well-to-do woman, you know, that had built the extra room for Elijah on the house, you know, to where when he came through town, he would stay with her, so she built an extra room for the prophet of God. Why did the Bible call her a well-to-do woman? Because there's something to say about that. Why did God use the man in the New Testament who actually dealt with the fact of taking Jesus' body after burial and began to anoint his body? And why did Jesus talk about, or the Bible talk about, that he was a rich man named Arimathaeus? It was Joseph of Arimathaeus. Why did the Bible say a rich man named Joseph of Arimathaeus? So there's something to say why God would quote-unquote waste his time, if I can use that terminology with you guys, even though God does not waste his time. But from a human point of view, why would God waste his time to say a rich man named Joseph? Why would God waste his time to say a well-to-do woman, you know, built a room on a house for the prophet? Why would God waste his time to say that Jacob had a rock underneath his head he laid his head upon when he dreamed? Because there's a significance. And those who have an ear to hear and an eye to see can only grab a hold and gather the information that goes beyond human thinking. Are you with me? To understand of what God is saying in the book that's written in the book. In other words, there's a book within the book of the Bible. Think about it. There's a book within the book of the Bible. There is a spiritual book within the natural book of the Bible. And it's still God's word, but yet it is those who go behind the veil to gather the truth of what happened. And therefore, you have to realize that's why you have to have an ear to hear and an eye to see. In the book of Revelation, it deals with the fact of one of the churches had to anoint their eyes with eye salve that they may see. Why? Because they were too busy looking in the natural, but they were not looking into the supernatural, the spiritual realm behind the veil that would give them or cause them to gather the truth of the significant definitions and details of why God said what he said. And so, like the Bereans, I'll give you another example. Bereans in the book of Acts, they were educated people, very wise people. They were smart people. They trained themselves. And so the Bereans wanted to figure out the secrets to the Torah and the Old Testament that goes beyond what? Human reasoning, human thinking. And so within this book, I talk a lot about the significance of what? Preparing your atmosphere, preparing your home, preparing yourself for the world of dreams, to where you're able to engage a little bit more into, guess what? These things are important. And I will tell you once again the how-tos of what, how to do it. So you're going to love this. And how many of you actually have ever wondered, you know, or read books on dreams and you never heard or anyone tell you the how-tos? But they'll be quick to tell you about Scripture in Daniel and different places how God loves you for you to dream. Do they not? And there's great important revelation in that stuff. Don't get me wrong. But I want to teach you on the how-tos from a biblical point of view of how God trained me to do this. Another part of it is preparing your soul, your mind, your will, and the emotions. Preparing your soul. Why do we need to prepare our soul for dreams? Because the soul is the mind. Hello, dreams. What do you think dreams come from? Dreams come into your mind, your imagination. Why is it so important that God says casting down vain imagination? Because the opposite of vain imagination is healthy imagination. And it's important that we cast down vain imagination, which is dead, heavy weight, causing us to be smothered by human reasoning and thinking without understanding the imagination of God that functions and flows in us to know how to dream. So you have to prepare your soul, which is the mind, that's where the dreams come in, the will, and the emotions, giving your will over to the fact of what God is saying to you and submitting. What is giving yourself over to the will of God mean? It means submission. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. That's what the Bible says. So it's resist, it's submit, resist yourself, and then it's talking about submitting yourself, and then so you have to resist the enemy by submitting yourself to God, and therefore you have to learn to submit your will that the portal of God can be opened up, that you can be able to engage in the dreams you need. And then I'm going to talk to you about emotions. Emotions play a very strong, vital part within your dream realm. If you're an emotional wreck, if you're a child that's tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, let me tell you something. You will have what we call pizza dreams. You'll have dreams where God is trying to filter through your imagination to teach you stuff. But what happens is, since the mind is not completely renewed, it throws in the emotions of your life, of your everyday existence, on how you respond to things. Did you know that? Think of it this way. If my will and my human reasoning and my emotions is petrified, for example, let's say of tigers. Let's just say, for example, I'm totally afraid, have nightmares of tigers. Let's say I can't deal with tigers. Then how many know that I've got to learn to be able to cap my emotions, to control my emotions, move out of the human thinking or reasoning of my will, to get into the mind of Christ, to not be afraid. Why? Because the Bible says, do not be afraid. Fear not. How many times do we read about fear not? And so, if God gives me a prolific dream through my imagination, and all of a sudden he gives me this really important dream I need to know for someone else or for myself, and then all of a sudden God reveals in this dream these typologies, type and shadows of a tiger. My emotions and my will, through my subconscious mind, is going to be petrified. Why? Because I will not be able to get the accuracy and the detailed information God wanted me to have because of my fear of my emotions, because they're not capped into a place of knowing how to submit those to God, preparing those emotions to be able to flow with the will of God in the dream realm, then if God gives me a tiger within my dreams, guess what's going to happen? That tiger automatically will put fear in me, even into my subconscious mind, and it's going to cross over to my conscious mind, and I will not be able to get the accuracy of God, of the message God is trying to teach me through what? Through the dream interpretation. And so we have to be very careful, folks, to realize that a lot of you out there are getting great godly dreams, but because you haven't submitted and prepared your soul, you're not able to get the inclusiveness or the fullness and the unlimitedness of the accuracy or the detailedness of what God wants to reveal to you through that dream for you or someone else. And so it's very important. Another chapter I talk about is being the gatekeeper of your mind. Being the gatekeeper of your mind. Very important. I'm going to talk to you from a Hebrew point of view, Hebrew words, from the Psalms, dealing with how to be able to learn to shut out what does not need to be in your mind and welcome what needs to go into your eye gates, your ear gates, and the things within your soul. Are you with me? Which is your mind again, your will and your emotions. So I'm going to teach you how to prepare yourself by actually learning to be the gatekeeper of the mind to know what it is I need to let in and what it is I don't need to let in. See, a lot of people build walls and boundaries all around themselves. Let's give a great example as a life coach. I tell people all the time, people have subconscious walls around them all the time, from men that have hurt them, women that have hurt them, animals that have maybe bit them as a child, people who've lied to them, pastors they don't trust anymore because they've seen manipulation, or maybe one of them lied to one of them, you know, or something. And so you have a lot of subconscious walls that are built up. And what happens is when God speaks to you in your dream realm and dream dimension, what happens is you're not going to be able to find the accuracy of what God is saying to you because you have spiritual walls built up against people. And God will, here's the part people don't realize, God will, He does and He will, use the things from your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, of everything you've used in your life. Let me give you a great example. Do you remember in the book of Revelation where John actually talked about these flying creatures and this and this and this? And to this very day, folks, here we are, the year I'm talking to you right now is in 2015. So this very day, there's what people that are arguing about eschatology, trying to figure out exactly what these flying creatures were. Maybe they're eagles, maybe they're airplanes, maybe they're rockets, maybe they're this. Or maybe it's just all spiritual things dealing with the spirit realm of who we are. That's my interpretation, my belief. And I can sort of, I believe, quote unquote, prove that from different ways in the Bible, how God moves and operates and flows in His patterns. But yet, to this very day, no one can truly say what all these things represent, because John saw things he's never seen before. Now, that was caught up in a vision. Visions, you can get away with that kind of stuff. But in a dream situation, because a vision is a daytime thing that you see things, to where the state of the dream realm at nighttime, God uses things in your subconscious mind to put pieces together of things you've heard, things you've seen, things you've visualized, your experiences in life. So for example, I remember, how many of you have ever had dreams where you find yourself saying, oh, I saw that person, I haven't seen them in over 25 years. They're in my, how on earth they appear in my dream? And all of a sudden, with that person you saw 25 years ago, there's another person standing beside him or her that maybe you just saw yesterday at the grocery store, but yet you have no clue who that person was. Or maybe you see a figure of something you recognize on TV in a commercial that you just walked by the TV real quick. And so God uses things in your subconscious mind to put pieces together that 2 and 2 equal 4. And He'll show you things in the spirit of what is to come for you or someone else or for the nation or the country, whatever, from things within He pulls from your subconscious mind. And so I'm going to prove that and show that to you biblically as well. So you have to learn to be the gatekeeper of your mind to know exactly why it's so healthy to do these things. Now, another thing I talk about is learning to prepare your spirit. And here's another one many of you have asked me for. The interpreting of your dreams. Interpreting your dreams. So vitally important. I could spend all day talking about that one. Here's chapter 9, one of my favorites, is keeping your imagination free. I love that chapter. Keeping your imagination free. Teaching people how to move in the freedom of the unlimitedness of the mind of Christ. and how, and people block their imagination every single day of their life. Many people become Christians, and because they live by rules and legalism and do's and don'ts and eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, as opposed to the tree of life, what happens is many people shut themselves down and say, well, I no longer can watch TV because I'm a Christian. No longer can listen to the radio because I'm a Christian. No longer can go to plays or operas or symphonies or can't do this anymore because I'm a Christian now. And yet what happens is they've been trained, not by Jesus by far, they've been trained by legalism through do's and don'ts, right and wrongs, as opposed to what Jesus died for us to have, which was the life and life more abundantly. And so through all of that, what they do is they shut their imagination down and don't realize what they've done. They do not understand what has happened to them when they're not hearing from God. But yet they quote to God all the time, what? God, I'm living right for you. God, I don't watch TV. I don't fill my mind full of junk. I don't fill my mind full of this or that. And yet they have problems, struggling, constantly in warfare. Why? Because they don't understand. They've shut their imagination off to God through the idea of what they're seeing and hearing on planet Earth, which, guess what, folks? How many know? Let me give you a great example. How many of you know that the Bible says, how would they know unless they hear? Are you with me? So how is someone going to know unless they hear? So the Bible makes it very plain. You will not know unless you hear, correct? So let's say, for example, if you were born in a cave and your parents locked you into a cave all your life. Never taught you English. Never taught you what food was. Well, let's just say you had to eat food, but they never taught you what a curtain was or a bedspread, or never taught you what a car was. Never showed you another human being. Never showed you someone that's a different color from you. Let's say, for example, let's just say you're white and you've been locked into a cave for 20 years, and yet you were taught absolutely nothing from the day you were born. You can't even, all you can do is just sort of utter a sound because you can't even speak English. You've never seen, let's say, a black person. You've never seen an Asian person. You've never seen a Hispanic person. And so all of a sudden, you get 25 years old and something, somehow, someone rescues you in the cave that you've been locked in, and yet guess what? You're open to a brand new world that you've never known before. Imagine the first time you've ever laid eyes on someone that's not the same color of you. Think about it for a moment. Now go with me for a moment. Let's say you're black and you've never seen a white person before, ever. Isn't it a little freaky? You see what I'm saying? For you to say, oh my gosh, you're not the same color I am. How wild is that? Because you're not used to it. You've never seen it before. You know, you've never seen a car before. What is that thing on those round things? You don't even know what the word round means. And so there's a world that's brand new to you. Well, guess what God uses? He uses life's experiences for you in your imagination for Him to be able to pull from these things to show you. And so you've got to learn to keep your imagination free and open to revelation and information, insight, wisdom. How would God ever speak to someone, let's say prophetically, about maybe a new president coming and he's going to be this color, he's going to speak this way, if you've never heard of what a president is or you don't know what a president does? If God showed you a dream, you think that God's going to use the word president to say there's a new president coming for a nation and for the United States of America? He's going to be, Asian. He's going to have this name. He's going to talk about these type of policies. And let's say you've never heard the word policies. You have no clue what a president is. I know that sounds crazy, but let's just go there for a moment. You have no clue what anything is. You don't know how a country functions and flows. You don't even know what protocol means. You don't know anything about House of Representatives, Congress. You've never heard of these things ever because you've been in a cave. You think God's going to give you a dream to say, now this guy represents a president of a nation. These are his policies that will be coming about when he's elected in the year 2000 so and so. No. You know why? Because God moves and speaks through your imagination to where you understand. If you do not understand what is being said to you, now we're not talking about interpretation. I'm dealing with things of items, things that you've seen or you've witnessed that might not have the fullness of a definition. God still uses those things. That way you have an interpretation of the things you saw, but the things you saw, you at least have a clue or an idea. That's why you're able to imagine it. Are you with me? I'm going to show you that within the book. And so you have to remember, God uses your experiences, your sometimes your terminologies. Even if your terminologies are wrong, God will still cause you to use something of the opposite terminology of your definition just to show you at least where you have an idea, and God's teaching you through your dream to at least you have an idea of, okay, I recognize what that is, but I've never heard it used in that way before. God still uses you that way. And so you have to remember, you've got to learn to keep your imagination free. I'm going to give you a lot of stuff in that chapter as well. I'm also going to talk to you about the life of a dreamer, one of my favorites, the life of a dreamer. How does a life of a dreamer live? How do you keep your dreams active, alive, and why is it important that you put a pen and paper beside your bed at nighttime to the way you're living a consistency? You're speaking to your subconscious mind and your spirit that every night I'm going to dream. Even though we all do dream every night, but half of us don't remember our dreams or don't even think that we dreamed, but you do dream at nighttime. And so I'm going to teach you the life of how to sustain yourself as a dreamer to where you're always open under the portal of God's revelation to reveal to you anything and everything that you need to know within your life or the life of someone else. And so this book, I promise you, will transform you, change your life forever, because the most things I spoke to you just now in this broadcast, you're not even going to find within the book, but you're going to hear these things spread out to where I'm giving you more definition of what I just told you, because I'm trying to condense it in this small broadcast. So I'm telling you, I want to encourage you, please, folks, go to the website, identitynetwork.net. Order the brand new book of mine called what? It's called Entering into Dream Dimension. Entering to the Dream Dimension, God's Portal to Reveal. You're going to love the book. Or we also offer it on the website as an ebook as well. So you can order it as a book or an ebook. Or you can call my customer service to order it as well. Our number at the office here is 205-362-7133. That's 205-362-7133. You guys are going to love the book. So order today, Entering to the Dream Dimension, God's Portal to Reveal. God bless you and have a good day.